President Obama was listening.
Yeah, you know. there's the dream.
Chris Pratt, you know, my new Chris Pratt, he was listening. Nah, you know, he'll be listening to the show this afternoon. That's more his style. So, all right, everybody.
Do you want to go bigger, badder, better, more? Are you ready to level up your life? Are you ready to be awesome? Now is the time, and this is Success Freaks.
Welcome everyone to the number one Faster Than Molasses comedic motivational show, otherwise known as Success Freaks. Today's working title is episode 254, When the Going Gets Today, we are coming at you semi-live from Peachtree City, Georgia, and the Bears Den in Conyers, Georgia. And in that Bears Den, all by his lonesome, for the first time in a few weeks, he's probably loving it. The dark's like... Everywhere we go. The dark side of positive. Charles McFall. I don't know why all that stuff comes out of me when it does, but it does.
So, you know, what does that tell you about your childhood?
I was a very imaginative child. And I had many action figures. Yeah. I had Action Jackson and G.I. Joe and Big Jim with the, not the Kung Fu Grip.
Wait, what?
The karate chop.
You're always talking about going to the gym, and you said right. Big Jim. There's something that you're not dealing with, sir?
Some correlation that I need to really come out and express to everyone.
Perhaps, maybe. But it's your choice, sir.
This is not the show for that.
No. So, I've got a friend of mine named Brandon who runs a company that is very unique. He runs a company that finds investors for indie games, right? So he's dealing with game developers that are independent and that are highly creative and smart and doing some great things. And on the other side, he's meeting with people who have money to invest, you know, venture capitalists, whatever they are, and who want to bring new games to the forefront. And that's a very interesting niche to be in. And he and I got to talking, and he's like, yeah, you know, here's some issues that we deal with. And I sent that to you, so I'm going to let you set it up. But we're specifically going to talk with some of these about some of these issues, because honestly, it's easy to get focused on what the universal we do, or the universal I, what I do and what affects me, and how it, I can't relate to other people or other people don't understand. I cannot tell you how many times as a paramedic, I got, oh man, you got to be a special person to do that job. And honestly, I would always say, yeah, but you have to be a special person to be a teacher. I don't want to be stuck in a room with 30 brats all day long. I'd kill somebody. You know, you got to be special to do any job that you do. As Mike Rowe has illustrated many times on Dirty Jobs. So when we talk about this stuff, yeah, we're talking to, I personally am going to be relating to creativity and to doing things in life and to being that guy. Just like Mornet, but being that guy who wants to be the entrepreneur, wants to create something that the world will enjoy and get paid for it. And that's going to be related to these game developers, but you can also relate that to your life, because we all should have a little creativity in us. So how would you like to set this up, sir?
Well, I guess he gave us one of the first things that he has a question about, and we could just read through that. That's what I'm guessing.
Sure, go ahead.
You are the point of contact for this guy. Do you wish to read it, or?
I want to hear your lovely voice.
All right, there you go. The trow. You got me saying that.
Sorry, the trow.
We went back and forth whether this is trow or trough or
well,
sour.
I knew it could be trough, but I don't know.
I believe it is, but now we were talking about it so much, I said the trow. The trough of sorrow is a dead time, or a time where there's a perception of little or no traction. This could refer to a sales cycle or a long spring during a scrum cycle, which I'm not really sure what that is. Things like this tend to have a negative psychological effect on team members. So I guess what he's asking is what, as the title of our show talks about, when the going gets slow, how do you keep going? You know, what's going to motivate you to keep going? I think one of the things you have to realize is that some things just take time. In fact, often most things take time. Usually when you're getting into a new endeavor, whether it's a business thing, a relationship thing, or you're just working on yourself, there's a lot of growth in the beginning. I work on an app called Duolingo, and it's a a language learning app. And of course, I've had some Spanish background from high school, no more than that. And I worked with a linguist to teach me more. So I picked up Spanish, and pretty quickly I was zipping through it really, really fast. And it was just very exciting. Oh, look, I'm knocking out all these things and everything's kind of fun. And then it got harder to the stuff I didn't readily know. So just like that with anything that you're excited about, even if it's a hobby, you're going to see a lot of growth. You're going to see a lot of learning. You're going to see a lot of accomplishments right away. And that's part of the lure to bring you in more. Now, whether that's the universe trying to trick you, oh, that's how they get you, you know, or it's just saying, come on in. It's fun right now. Now, here's where you're going to find the gap. Here's where a lot of people will drop off. Eventually, the fun becomes, if you want to continue with this and become the best of the best, or at least to a point where you're going to make some money or really make some headway in your relationship, or, you know, live beyond the infatuation stage, things slow down. You know, you reach a plateau, and you're on that plateau for a while. Now, there's a couple reasons why this happens. One is just so that you've learned a lot, you've experienced a lot, and now it's time to live into that experience. You've expanded a lot, you've grown a lot. And so you're going to be there in that arena for a while. So until you get to the point where you're kind of used to being there, and then it's time to find another way to level up even more. You know, and that's going to come with it could be coming with grinding. It could be coming with just new experiences and things like that. Or, you know, just even persevering, just sticking it out, because a lot of people will drop off. And that's why at the other end of those things, at the other end of this dip, this chasm, not many people get to that side or level up beyond that.
I mean, I think it's a little bit different here. Because personally, when I hear you relate those things, I think of what we talk about when we're talking about leveling up. Well, you work hard, you get to a certain level, and you're just there for a while until a new challenge comes along. But this seems different. And here's an overview that I've got off of Wikipedia for development hell. Basically, it's a media industry jargon for a state during which a film or other project remains in development without processing to production. And then one of the things they give here is like if a screenplay has been written, or in the case of game development, or in the case of a podcast, coming up with a great idea like you did with the geek show you're working on. You come up with the idea and essentially you sell it to somebody. You tell it to, in game, this particular game development one, you would tell it to Brandon, who's like, yes, that's a great idea. You've already started working on it. Yeah, we can get you some funding for that. But then what happens is, or you're like in the screenplay, you sell it to a producer or a studio, but then different things arise, decisions, rewrites, recasting, reprogramming. In a podcast, it's, well, let me come up with a different idea. This didn't quite work. And then it just kind of keeps tumbling over itself instead of gaining any kind of progress. So you lose control of that, I think, is kind of what this kind of comes down to. You're relying on other people. And you started, Morden, let's see, yeah, we got time for this. You started before the show relating to me about your Kickstarter experience and what happened there.
Right. I want to get into that into that to the next section. But right now I want to say that with this, as you're, you know, let's say you're just working on a project and you, you know, like when I've done writing, I have a book that I had been working on for a long time. I'm the kind of writer that I can jump around. I don't have to write sequentially. It helps with me figuring out how everything is going, but it's not necessary. So when I got stuck in a scene and I couldn't figure out where to go with this, first thing I would try to do is, all right, make it really small. Let's just work on this small scene. It doesn't matter. Nothing else. Don't worry about the book, just the scene. And if I just didn't have anywhere to go with that, I would find another scene. I would look for something that would hit. Usually I get a movie trailer in my mind about what's going on with the characters. Sometimes I'll do it with accompanying with listening to music, and it'll start playing, and that'll be like, okay, cool, I can write that out. Same thing with your game developers. You can either work on a different aspect of the project so you're not losing your steam, or you can find another project to work on. But sitting around and waiting for this to come through is like somebody who, let's say you need something. I need a pair of pliers. They're special pliers, and I just don't have them. I'm going to ask my friend Daniel for them. But he hasn't gotten back to me, so should I just wait and see if he gets back to me? I need these pliers today. No, I should ask Steve and Rebecca and Jonathan and Andrea. Somebody's going to come up with those pliers. So don't just wait for that thing to move forward. If it's the case of you written a screenplay and you've sent it and a production company's thinking about using it, let go. begin working on the next one. You know, but just sitting there and letting yourself be stagnant, as far as the law of attraction, you're just going to grab that stagnant to you in other areas of your life. So don't do that. Be productive. You want to get something done, give it to a busy person. Keep yourself busy. Keep yourself moving forward. If you're like, oh, I'm kind of burned out on this. I need to do something else. Okay, sure. Take a walk. Go to the gym. Find, you know, change your scenery so that your brain starts moving and pumping and grinding and you're able to get jazzed about something else. But don't keep yourself there in that Death Valley, you know, area of nothing happening.
Well, what would you do? Actually, I think we're
I told
out of
you
time
what
here.
I'd do.
So, no, I was going to ask a specific question, but we are hitting the wall. So what you're going to do is you, the listener, is stay tuned because we're going to be back with a whole lot more discussion on this.
Since 2011, Mordant and McFall have been bringing you the comedic motivational show Success Freaks. They've covered everything from life and death to relationships and money and even on beyond to chasing and catching your dreams and leveling up your life. They're in the business of entertaining and edifying, and they'd like to level up their message as well as their reach. This is where you come in. If you believe in what we're doing here, we'd like your continued support in giving your mind and spirit something to chew on each week while putting enough laughter in your heart to make you smile out loud. Help us help others and you to be awesome. Just go to patreon.com/successfreaks.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 254, when the going gets slow. And in the last segment, we were talking about what happens when the going gets slow. For us, I'm sure for Charles, I know for me, things really don't get slow, because when I get bogged down with something, sometimes that slowness is a joyful repast or a joyful, you know, excuse to be able to step away from that project. It's like, okay, I'm going to send this off to this person and I'll wait for it to come back. That means I can work on this over here. There is no going get slow for us. Maybe in a beloved project. But what?
Well, since you added me in, I do want to disagree with that slightly for myself. Is while there's never, there's very, very few times that it seems to be that I have a day that nothing's going on or things are just coming slowly. There's plenty of times I personally feel like with Success Freaks and with breaking the panel and the network, that things should be actually catching and making traction and making progress, and people should be buying in to essentially what I'm selling. And there's plenty of times I don't feel that. I feel like I'm working myself to death and nothing's happening.
And just listening to you say it, even though I'm living it with you and I don't have the answers for my own life, but listening to you say it, it's like there's something you don't know that you are A, doing or B, not doing. And during that time is to figure that out. You know, when we first started doing Success Freaks, we were minding and grinding and moving forward, and then, you know, things were building and then they weren't, and then they are what they are right now. We're not social media posting everywhere to people who are like, who the hell are you guys and why are you posting here? Does that mean that we should go back to that routine? I don't think so. I think that both of us are like, no, this is not how we want to live our lives, buried in our computer like this. But there is definitely another way of doing this that we just don't know yet. Or it's something that's coming and is not here yet. And we just have to keep doing what we do. Now, maybe for you, it may not be Success Freaks. It may not be Success Freaks for either of us. This could be what, for me, although I call it my bread and butter job, the Tortuga Twins have taught me a lot, and I've brought that to this table. I know I've learned a lot while being in Success Freaks. I'm bringing that to other tables. You know, I work on the Warp podcast. You work on your network and everything like that. From experiences you've had, now podcasting experiences you've had for a long time, even before Success Freaks, but there's other things that you've learned from here. So Success Freaks may not be it, but it is definitely serving a purpose. What do you do when something slows down so much? If it's a movie script project that you've given to somebody else, there's not more that you can do, really. Just wait for it to begin to move forward. And so keep yourself busy so you don't go insane. If it's the only thing you're working on, I think you've kind of set yourself up to go crazy, which is why you and I have multiple projects that we're working on, so that when something slows down, we can keep going. If it's the one thing that you want to have happen, then there's something you're doing or not doing, and you need to discover that. So maybe it's time for reflection. Maybe it's time for brainstorming. Maybe it's time to just, again, take that walk. Whenever I was writing and got stuck in a scene, if I didn't want to go somewhere else, I would take a walk, or I would go lie down in my bed and throw a tennis ball against the wall And somebody would come in and go, what are you doing? I'm going, I'm thinking. Are you really thinking about stuff specifically? No, but stuff eventually bubbles up. And it's like, oh, there's the idea. That's the phrase I needed. And I go back to the computer.
What about when you have to get things? Okay, so in the early days of Tortugas, when you only had two shows written or three shows and you had to come up with more.
Let's talk about when we're doing a theater show. Let's talk about when we're writing a Tortugapalooza and there's a time crunch.
Yeah.
What is, I can never remember her name, and I keep using her quote all the time. Hang on.
He's looking up the ass in chair.
I am. That's it. That's the thing. Nora Roberts, that was her quote. You know, how do you write so many books? How are you so prolific? Ass in the chair. That's the bottom line. When I'm on a deadline and I have to keep writing, it is a grind to sit there and go, okay, next, okay, next, okay, next. Oh, and there's a constitution to being able to do that, an endurance race to be able to do that. People who do, I have friends who do art and who will draw comic book figures and things like that. And I talked to one of them when we were thinking about doing a comic book. And when we were looking for people to do the art, he's like, be careful with that. You don't want just a good artist, because anybody who's an artist can do that. It's the ones that can sit there and draw panel after panel after panel after panel who can put out comic books. So sometimes it's just the grind of moving forward.
And
you
so
know, that's the way it was for me in Tortuga for three shows now, three Tortugapaloozas. There's no way to get around. Just sit there and do it.
Yeah. So when it comes to being creative, I'm trying to figure out where I want to go here, because there's a couple of different directions, but I'm thinking of, man, I'm thinking of over the past couple of years in a couple of spaces in my life, but I'll keep it to success freaks here, where things just don't make sense and there's nothing more I can do but keep going forward. So I guess before I get rambly, I'll tell everybody who's listening now, my thing is to really have faith in who you are, but not blind faith. You got to look and say, well, maybe what I think I'm supposed to be doing, I'm doing it wrong. You know, I've looked at Leaving Success Freaks a number of times, and every time I do, I've sat down with Morta and we've talked and we've retooled and changed a different path. It's worked. But to be flat out honest, we go to conferences. We go to places. There's all kind of places we talk about success freaks and eyes light up and, oh my God, that's so cool. And help others be awesome. Oh, you know, I understand exactly what you're talking about. And we've never grabbed a mass audience ever. Our numbers have not gotten quote unquote good. You know, so I'm like, what are we doing wrong? And the answer is sometimes there's nothing you're doing wrong. Sometimes you just keep doing you. You have to find the right path. And when you're talking about that grind of the theater show, when you're talking about a game that is not getting backed on Kickstarter and you need that money or you can't do anything, because until somebody was saying recently, I can't remember who it was, but it was a Kickstarter campaign. And they had a few backers for what they were doing. Like outside of Kickstarter, they had a few investors. But before they could spend a dime of that money from the investors, they had to get to a certain plateau that says, yes, we're going to do this. So that's what the Kickstarter was, to finish off that plateau and get them to that marker so then they could start spending the money and building the game or whatever it was they were doing the Kickstarter for. So you have half the money. So people believe in what you're doing, but you don't have enough. What can you do? I mean, when you're trying to raise money on Kickstarter, what can you do other than every day share it? And that feels empty and hollow.
What if you're not, and this is the bitter pill. What if you're not supposed to succeed here? What if this, whatever this project is that you're doing, what if it's, what if you're supposed to fail here so you can learn not necessarily what to do, but what not to do or how to do something better?
I agree with you, but I think our minds go to that. Not our minds, your mind. But I think when any human being is in that trough of sorrow, that their minds automatically, oh, maybe I'm not supposed to. And I think the harder part is going, well, no, I am supposed to. I just don't know how.
We have our friend Carrie Ann Hunt, who was on our show a little while ago. And she was doing I believe it's a TV show, but she was working on the proof of concept for the show, which means that, you know, they film kind of a trailer so they could show to investors, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is what we're talking about. And she did a Kickstarter and she talked about it while it was going on. She was on our show and she talked to a bunch of other people in other places as well. That Kickstarter did not go through. Now, does that mean her project is dead? Well, that was kind of up to her. Last I heard, she went and filmed it. She filmed the proof of concept. She, you know, pulled money from other places, and she's still moving forward with it. So, and then there's the Tortuga Twins, who we've done two successful Kickstarters. The first one was for our Very Tortuga Christmas.
Hold that thought. We'll come back. I do want to hear about that, but we're at the wall. Right. So we're going to come back talking about the Tortuga Twin Kickstarter and maybe what went right, what went wrong, and all kind of other good stuff. So go check out successfreaks.com for all our back podcasts and subscribe through iTunes and tell a friend because, you know, we do want to talk to more people. It's awesome.
The people of many Eastern African countries are used to dealing with hot, dry weather. But sometimes weather comes along that is just too much. Now is one of those times. Parts of Africa are facing the worst droughts in decades. While some areas are getting flooded with too much rain, livelihoods are being destroyed. Islamic Relief's local teams are on the ground, ready to deliver the emergency relief to these communities. Will you give them something to deliver?
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 254, when the going gets low. In the last segment, we were talking about Kickstarter, and I was beginning to speak about my experience with Kickstarter with the Tortuga Twin Show. We've done two different Kickstarters, one for the Very Tortuga Christmas Theater Show and one for our Sword Fighting and Stupidity reboot of the Rated R Show, which we filmed last year. The first time it went relatively smoothly, pretty easily. You know, I'm not sure when we actually funded it, but it was not right at the deadline. So that made us go, well, we should be doing this all the time instead of, you know, pulling it out of our pockets and then being very, very hungry for a little while until the DVDs come out. But with the latest one, it got some numbers in, then started slowing down about halfway through. And we were getting down to the last couple of days, and it wasn't until it's the truth. A big investor came in and said, you know what? Plunk, I believe in your project. Here you go. It happened early enough that once, and here's something I've noticed with Kickstarter, and even when I'm looking at Kickstarter, I will look for stuff that's about to fund. What's about to fund? I don't want to just pledge something that's not going to, that I'm basically want to buy something. What do I want to buy? And that's the same thing with you know, our fans who did it and the Kickstarter people who didn't know who we were. Once it funded, and then we said, well, you know what? We funded it. Tell you what, if we reach this goal, we're going to bring in the blue team as well. We're going to fly them in and we're going to do this. And we reached that goal. And then I forget what, if there was another one. Actually, we said, I think there was a reward in between that and the blue team one. But we got much more than we expected, much more. And we were able to amp up what we brought in the blue team. We were able to amp up what we did with the production company who was filming this. So it worked out very well for us, but it was a very tense moment towards the end. Once it happened, it was beautiful, and everybody was excited. It was a full audience. I think that was our biggest hat ever. We did it at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, which is our biggest crowd. We get, you know, 3,000 people in that arena that we're in, and it was just a fun time having all six of us on stage. They shot for all weekend. We had a drone come out and do drone shots and things like that. We're still in post-production. And our backers are starting to go, what's happening? And we're like, it's almost done. Within the month, it should be done, I'm saying. So, yeah, man, it's – and how do we get that? How are we able to get that? You know, well, you got a big investor. Yes, it's because we do what we do. I mean, even when it's not for Kickstarter, we've made those connections. We've made those friendships. We've made those, you know, we've networked like that. So we were able to do that. Same thing with, you know, Success Freaks. You know, we're keeping doing this because you, the listeners, keep coming up to us and saying, thank you. This is really meaning a lot, you know, a lot to me. It's really helping me out. So we're not just doing this in a vacuum. So that's how I got through Kickstarter.
Yeah, you know, and when you don't do media, when you do something like developing a game, or Joe Rathbun, she does, or at least she did, I think she's changed it up a little bit, but she does all kind of creative things like knitting, and there were some other crafting she did that she really loved and really wanted the world to love and never could quite get that foothold between having to make money, you know, income for the house, and being creative. She couldn't bridge that gap as of yet. I know she's still working on it. When you do something like that, that you're not always out there talking to people who want to hear it. I mean, how many people in our own audience wants to hear a game developer talk about the intricacies of developing game? I mean, I would, but I don't imagine the general public does. So when you're doing something like that, it's even more difficult, right? Because I get discouraged, absolutely, with the stuff that I do. And, you know, my ego does kick in, but then it hurts me. My ego hurts me a little bit going, I think I'm the best at what I do, and I feel like I'm the best at what I do, but I can't get that confirmation outside of myself. Maybe I just suck, you know, and I'm just delusional. And you need moments of refreshing. Okay, I think that's something I want to hit on. And I don't have anything specific about it other than you need that moment of refreshing. For you, Morna, and myself, we have other little areas, but I know every year when we would go to New Media Expo, that was that moment. And it made real life hard. I mean, real life was hard, period. But for me, for you, real life is performing. And that's when I say it's not difficult, I mean it's not a struggle against what you want to do. It's part of what you want to do. Yeah. Whereas the first year we went to New Media Expo, I'm literally at a desk in a cubicle surrounded by people that I got along with, but I didn't really like. They didn't understand me.
Not at New Media Expo. You're talking about your regular job.
At my regular job. Yeah. I mean, I'm at a desk in a cubicle at my regular. You have to clock in, I have to clock out, and things don't make sense because it could have worked better this way, that way. Very non-creative. So outside the house, outside the job is where I was doing success streaks and being creative, and we're going to be on a radio station to talk about what we do and this and that and the other. And we go to New Media Expo, and immediately, now I did have a bit of a reputation and that helped, but just telling people what we do who had never heard of it, and we got this huge boost that we felt like kings of the conference, right? We felt like upper echelon people, and everybody was like, oh my God, tell us how you do that. And all this greatness. And then we come back home. And for me, it was, I was a king there. I felt like a king there. And now here, I'm back to that grind. I want more of that, you know, that crack that you gave me there. And knowing that after that first year, I prepared myself for it. And I needed it. I needed that refreshing. No, this is really what I do. The cubicle job, the at-home job where I'm just cracking out reports and bored to tears, that's not me. That's something I'm doing. Me and my reality is feeling like that king, the rock god of podcasting, the guy who goes out there and lights up faces and entertains people, and everybody has a great time. So find that refreshment. And I when it comes to specifics, like even for you, Morna, I could not tell you how to find that refreshment in running a stage show. I just could tell you, like, if you get done with it, there are two choices. There are, am I really supposed to do this? Is the struggle worth it? Or do you just need this is what it feels like to be successful. Like when you said, oh, we don't know if we're going to make it. Oh, look, a backer came in. Oh, we feel like kings again.
And it's glorious once we get on stage. All the way up until that point, it is not. It is so, it's that people are like, when are you going to do another one? Are you going to do another one? We're just like, someday, because it's such a life suck. And there's often a 20, when we get closer to the show, 24 hour period that a Tortuga twin is up and working. Doesn't matter when it is, somebody is always up and working on something. So it is like that. I'm gonna get back to the people who are the businesses who are, you know, when you're working on a project and you it slows down or whatever. I can't emphasize this enough. Well, what if this is my only project? Don't do it that way. Stop doing it that way. If you're putting all your eggs in one basket, I'm gonna set my life up so that this is the thing that succeeds. That doesn't even work in our relationships or our regular life. Or you know, you see people with movies about this. Don't do that. Have other stuff going on. Have other multiple projects. Hey, well, you know, the Barnes project's not really working out well. What can I do now? Well, we're gonna go over to the Smith project. Okay, cool. I'll do that. And eventually, the Barnes project will come to fruition, or it won't. Or it will die. But, you know, what you learn from that, you bring to the Smith Project and whatever else you're doing. What was that movie? Oh, God, it was just, is it Ishtar? It was Dustin Hoffman and somebody else. God, what a pig that was.
I never saw it, but I heard it bombed
horribly. Oh, it was so awful, and I expected so much. Howard the Duck, George Lucas's first failure. Everybody was like, well, how are you going to do Howard the Duck? That's George Lucas. He'll be fine. It was awful, and it tanked. Did he move on to other stuff? Yes. Yes. Just have one thing.
Understand your audience. That's a great example. I'll make this quick so we get out of here. Understand your audience. Howard the Duck tanked because he didn't understand what Howard the Duck was. Right. And if you ever read any of the comics, it was nothing like the movie. Yep. So when you're with podcasting, especially when everything I've created, I've tried to really tap into my audience. The only thing that I would consider a failure for me in podcasting was when I tried to do something that I thought would be great, as opposed to doing something that truly meant something to me, because you are your first audience.
Right.
And sometimes you're your only audience, and maybe we'll get a little bit more into that. And I do have...
Before we leave, I have to say this because it just hit my brain.
Okay.
You've seen Howard the Duck recently. Do you remember where it is?
Yeah, that was in Stinger for Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
That's right, yeah.
Please.
So
I've got some direct advice for Brandon and the game developers, but specifically for Brandon, who is the Overwatch, the helper of them all. And I'm sure Morten, you've got tons more, so we'll be back in just a moment.
What happens when a self-help comedian and a social media manager both have a passion for podcasting and come together to support a common cause? A podcast is born. So what exactly is the Water Relief Podcast? Each week, BC Dodge and R. Morten Mon from the Success Freaks Podcast sit down with staff members and volunteers to talk about IRUSA efforts in the United States and abroad. So how can you listen to the podcast? Download from IRUSA.org. You can also find it on Blueberry.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. Subscribe and download the Water Relief Podcast today.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 254. When the going gets slow, what are we supposed to do? When the going gets slow, what can we do? Charles, what do you got?
So for me, and I had a moment recently that did this, so maybe it's why I'm stuck on it, but my personal advice to Brandon, who I know will listen to this, and he's been asking for things that he is a genius guy. He's an amazing guy who will take this limited experience discussion that we've had and apply it to everything that he knows about this stuff, and possibly it'll help. But the personal advice I have is find a way to bring that refreshing feeling of, oh no, I am great at what I do, or I am the king, or that feeling of success to people in the middle of the trough of sorrow. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's my nice reverb effect there. Should be like the pit of despair, the trough of sorrow. Because if you get, man, I got to tell you, there have been so many times that I realized I needed that refreshment. You don't realize it until you get there. I mean, you're in it. You're like, oh, because you start feeling yourself going, why? Why am I working so hard for what feels like nothing? Why am I working so hard to not progress? And I don't even mean on the larger life scale, because on the larger life scale, for me, I've had those moments as well. And I've just had to go, I don't have to understand why. I just keep doing what I'm doing and trust that it's going to work, and it'll work. And be open. You know, I'm open to getting a job. I'm open to blah, blah, blah. Here's the reality. I need more income. You know, you really got to boil it down to what you're saying, exactly what you need. Because for a while, more than I said, I need more work. And I got more work, and the income didn't change that much, and it really boned me out. So find a way to somehow infuse your guys and gals, your programmers, your developers, with that I am the king and queen of what I do. I am awesome at what I do. I don't know what that is. I know on a reality TV show where you're losing weight, you're going to bring in some awesome celebrity coach that people are like, oh my God, you're so awesome. And they come in, like, oh, you're doing amazing. Just keep it up. And it gives you that boost. I know for me, it's going to these conferences and being on panels and talking to people. And sometimes just saying yes to a job because it'll be kind of cool. And then something amazing happens. You know, that's that refreshment. What is it for you, Morten? How do you, when you get into, because you know you do, when you get into the funk with the Tortuga Twins or Success Freaks and go, God, I'm just spinning my wheels. What am I doing here? What refreshes you? What is it that makes you go, wow, I love this stuff?
Well, for me, it's, and anybody who's listened to the show knows it's true, is I try to expose myself. I try to expose myself to something that's going to make me excited. When I was writing, I would pick up books about writing, and usually they were Writer's Digest books. I would go to a bookstore and go to the reference section and find that. And as I was reading, it would say something that would click in my brain about oh, I can apply that to my writing. If there's something going on with, you know, with my life and I'm not feeling like I'm moving forward, I'm going to try to find something, expose myself to something that's going to jazz me to move forward. You know, and oh, I can apply this to my life. Same thing with, you know, Tortuga Twins. Well, with Tortuga Twins, I've been doing it for so long that it's a lot of my stuff that I apply to my life is affecting that. You know, a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about on Success Freaks, and because I'm talking about it here, I've studied it or I'm going through it, it's affecting that. If it's Success Freaks, it's the same thing. I know there's something that we're doing or not doing that's not propelling us forward, but I don't think it's time to quit the project. Because a lot of good is happening, and not just for everybody else, also for us. It's enriching my life. I believe it's enriching your life. When it stops doing that and other things take over and the tide carries us that way, then maybe we'll look at it. For me, it's expose myself to something that's going to jazz me to keep moving forward. And that may come from, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to sit down and read a self-help book. Sometimes, sure, that's a great thing to do. It. For me, I go to the gym and I listen to them. You know, it could also be, let me just step away. I'm going to go play a stupid video game, something that my brain's going to, you know, put everything is on check, and it will work subconsciously. It doesn't mean that you're not, you know, stuff's not happening. Going for a walk, you know, commune with nature. It sounds goofy. It sounds woo-woo. But I'll tell you, getting outside for just a few minutes and walking around will get you, okay, cool. For me personally, although I love watching shows, that doesn't seem to help. You know, sitting down, it might help me, you know, take a breath. It might help me step away from my brain hurts, but it doesn't help me move forward. So ultimately, just expose myself to something that's going to jazz me and move
forward. That sounds good. Cause we do tend to, for me, podcasting, but I imagine the same for anybody with any project, like especially in game development. I've read with game developers, they'll play other games. And sometimes we have to, like you're saying, we have to get away from what we do. There are definitely times when I feel like, oh, I need to listen to more podcasts. But there are definitely times when I'm like, I need to just go and do something different.
Yeah.
Period. I need to take my mind off what I'm doing. And I want to disagree with something you said, not because you're wrong, because I feel differently. When you said, I keep feeling like there's something I'm not doing that can move me forward. I don't feel that way. I feel like, now I will analyze, is there something I'm missing? Is there something I can be doing better? But when I go check, I'm doing that, and what feels right? You know, you've definitely said in the past, what feels heavy, what feels light, what feels right? Can you always do something extra? There's always something out there. I mean, yeah. Google, how do I promote blah, and you're going to get pay to do Facebook posts, pay to do this. There's always something you can do. I'm not mocking that. Facebook ads are good. Paying for a marketer can be good. But what feels right? What's the right timing? What is right for now? But there's definitely times like, no, I'm doing everything I can. It's you, world. And the quote I want to use from Civil War is sometimes, and I won't tell you where or when it came in the movie, but it's a great line. You know, sometimes the world is telling you you're wrong and you have to compromise. But sometimes when you just know you're right and you're doing the right thing, it's your duty to plant yourself like a tree and tell the world, no, you move. And that's what's gotten me through some of these really deep troughs of sorrow that I've gone through of, you know what? I still love doing the show. I still love doing what I do. I still love blah about whatever's getting me down. So you know what, world? Screw you. You just don't know me yet.
You don't know me?
Yeah. I'm bigger than Steve Jobs, and you'll figure it out at some point.
Now, I want to say that something that we haven't talked about, because that's not usually the direction we go in, but I am going to throw it out there. Calming your mind, if you can step away, and whether it's prayer or meditation, you know, something that just – and it talk about working on your breathing and just – you know, the goal is not to – the goal is just to quiet your mind. That's it. And you do that for 5 minutes, and it helps. It helps me. It helps me revitalize myself. It, for some reason afterwards, whether I'm just, oh, look, I meditated. I feel good about myself. Whether it's that or it's just actually that I've calmed my mind enough to go, no, no, no. This is my time. This is, I'm taking a break. I'm taking a break from everything and just being at peace for a moment. And it, you'd be surprised at the, and honestly, the cumulative effects of it. Because that is what happens if you keep doing it longer and longer and longer. I tended to like more because I broke my teeth on doing energy work meditation. So that's an active mind thing. And that's where I started doing it with. Now I'm working more into the calming of my mind and just, you know what, things are going to come my way instead of stressing about it. And that, especially if you're in a stressful situation, especially if you're like, this project's not going through and I need to do this. 5 minutes. 5 minutes of you stressing about it isn't going to help your project. 5 minutes of you just calming your mind and centering yourself may help your project, and probably will, because then you're stepping out of fight or flight mode and you're getting into a place where you can actually see all the other options out there that you can't see when you're freaking the F out. So calm your mind. Find a way to do that. Find a meditation that works for you. And I, you know, go on YouTube. There's tons of guided ones. If one is too hokey for you, don't do that one. If
find the pokey one, not the hokey one.
Yeah, find the pokey one, not the hokey one. No hokey pokey. So that's a suggestion there as well, just for your own benefit and for the sake of your ulcer.
absolutely. Find a way to find that peace. And if there's somebody stressing you, I know that's something we're going to talk about on another show, team dynamics, but something to lead into team dynamics is know yourself well enough to know who you work with and who you don't. And when people panic, it drives me crazy. And some people have had the patience with to say, okay, let's talk about the reaction. Here's how you block. Here's the reality, and talk people down off a ledge and train them if they're going to be around me to let's react with questions instead of emotions. But if you ask somebody, sometimes you're not supposed to help everybody in the world. And sometimes there's just people who rattle like, nope, I just can't be around you anymore. So thanks. Bye. On that note, this is the last Success Freaks Rope. No, I'm just kidding. So, but we are at the wall here. So stay tuned. We're going to do a bigger, better, better, more with On Beyond Success Freaks. I've got some cool stories to tell and probably more on refreshing, actually more on feeling good about ourselves. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Since 2011, Mordant and McFall have been bringing you the comedic motivational show Success Freaks. They've covered everything from life and death to relationships and money and even on beyond to chasing and catching your dreams and leveling up your life. They're in the business of entertaining and edifying, and they'd like to level up their message as well as their reach. This is where you come in. If you believe in what we're doing here, we'd like your continued support in giving your mind and spirit something to chew on each week while putting enough laughter in your heart to make you smile out loud. Help us help others and you to be awesome. Just go to patreon.com/success. Freaks.
Welcome to On Beyond Success Freaks, where we go bigger, better, better, more, and to what we're talking about. So today's been the trough of sorrow. I mean, the trough of sorrow, yeah. So it's all about when things get slow, when people aren't backing you, when people don't get it, when you feel like you're pushing that rock up the hill and everybody in your life seems to be going, I don't get it. Why are you doing this? Because you have that vision. You know where it can go. You just know deep inside of you what's supposed to happen, and yet nobody else does. It's a tough time, and we've talked about refreshing moments. We've talked about clearing your mind. We've definitely talked about a lot of different things along those lines. But I think the key is to – you said something earlier that I want to add to a different layer. You said something in the beginning of the show, Morten, about – doing little things, you're writing, and let me work on this scene instead of working on this huge movie. Let me work on this dialogue instead of the whole scene, you know, breaking it down. And I think if we apply that to a larger level of our life, a more metaphysical level of our life, saying, okay, instead of how do I know I trust myself? How do I know I'm right? Well, let me try this little thing here. And I wish I had a story that I could remember, because I know I've done little things and go, I'm good at that. And so I'm going to keep doing this and tweaking until I do get it right. And then when the larger picture comes, people will see it. I don't know the exact little tweaks I've made, but I do know from the first day of podcasting, I was like, I'm the rock out of podcasting, and this is going to be, because it clicked, it's instant. I knew this is going to be where I succeed. This is going to be where I shine. And even for years, my wife did not get that. And even when she did, it was only to a small point. And that was important to me. And there were times I just had to hold on to, no, I know what's going on. But celebrating the small victories, maybe, is what I'm talking about in life, of going, hey, this one person wrote into the show. They liked it. With game developers, I know a lot of times, I just heard a show where this game is coming out. It's not even going to be released until next year, but there's early access now. It's in the it's not even really beta. They like, nope, we have these features that we haven't even launched yet that are coming in the game, but they still released it early access to people who pay to get that feature, by the way. They pay to get early access to generate capital and to get that feedback and to see what the community is saying. And in this particular case, it's working where, yeah, they get some negative feedback, but they get a lot of positive feedback and a lot of constructive criticism of, oh, we didn't think, and the example they gave was something wasn't working with the walls, like the coding for the walls. They were glitching. So they actually had not even realized that because you're so focused on content and getting this next milestone hit and this next feature rolled out to the game that you're not thinking of something as basic as the walls. And they had to go in and strip down the code for the wall and rebuild it, essentially. And now it works. So putting it out there, even if it's unfinished, even if it's nowhere near finished, sometimes is a proof of concept. You know, not the trailer proof of concept that you're talking about, Mordant, but that proof of concept going, I can't tell you how many shows, I could if I counted them, but how many times I just started with an idea and said, I think this will be fun. And I did it, and it was just raw and real and just sometimes bad technique on mic and bad editing and no editing and bad recording, but I just put it all out there and leveled up with it. You know, is there anything in that jumps out to you, Mordant?
No.
All right. I just want to give you the opportunity to jump in. So
no, I'm hearing you. I'm just not sure where you want to go with this.
Well, I'm just saying there had to be a time with Tortuga Twins that you were like, I don't know this is going to work, but I believe it's going to work.
Oh, my God, every theater show. Are you kidding me? Well, no, we've gotten to a point where with the first theater show, we weren't really sure. And then we spent all the money on it.
But y'all started smaller, right? You started with DVDs of stuff.
Yeah,
and
we weren't sure the DVDs were going to work. Because what happens when people see our DVDs, they're not going to want to come see the show because then that's not how that happens. Every new T-shirt design, I was like, here's some ideas. Let's try this. And we've learned not to put out huge amounts. Like, we just came out with two new T-shirt designs, and one of them started exploding a little bit more than anything else. So we pulled them out in a limited run, meaning that we had, you know, large, extra large, and maybe a couple 2X, maybe. And then when that one started blowing up, it's like, okay, I ordered the rest of the sizes. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that come out that you kind of test the waters with. You learn that, too, and the only way to learn that is to fail. It's the same thing with Kickstarter. How did, you know, any kind of failure is going to teach you how to succeed at it. If everything happens to you so very easily, all you're going to learn is how to succeed when everything's going great. If you don't figure out how to work with challenges, you never will work. You'll never learn how to do that. So anybody who's working in a gaming thing, or if you're working whatever project you are, if all you have is this one thing and you're stymied and you don't know what else to do, you're going to sit around looking in the office and looking staring at each other for a long time. You will eventually learn, hey, maybe we should work on something else. Hey, maybe we should work on another aspect of this. Or like they did, let's put this out and see what people think of it, and then we'll learn to tweak it. With me in writing, well, we're working on a new Tortuga Twins show. One of us will feel something for it. Or, you know, we'll get in, we'll talk about our ideas, and we'll put that on a Google Doc, which is a different way of doing it for us this year. And when one of us starts feeling something for it, they'll get in and they'll start writing. You know, or if I'm writing one of the theater shows, I'll get in and start writing. And then I'll throw it to my partners, my brothers. With the thought, I do not wish to look at it. When you've done something with it, send it back. Or put it where I can see it. If there are things I remember from before, hey, I really liked that line, I'll put those back in. If, however, there's nothing there that I remember and I really like everything else. This will also give me more to work on, you know. So you send it out to people, whether it's people that you're working with or whether it's your clientele, so you can get some feedback, and that feedback will take you in a new direction. It will fire those synapses so you can move on to something else or tweak it even better. So that's my thought about that.
Yep. And I agree with that stuff. So I want to jump to my story from this weekend that you're going to love. Because you haven't said anything. I don't believe you saw when I posted the things out. So I changed my words recently. I've had a little bit of crisis of faith in myself and things that are going on. And also a bit of a downturn with my life going, I need more income. I'm actually kind of tired of going, I'm not sure where the money's coming from this month. It always comes and I make my bills, but it can be stressful and it can be hard. And there are definitely times I'm like, man, I feel like I'm working myself to death and not making any progress. And it can get tough. So I changed my mindset of worrying about that and focusing on that. And I did talk it out. I talked it out with Morty a little bit. I talked it out with Paul Klotz a little bit. And, you know, okay, so I'm just going to try to keep going and try to understand a new way of thinking. And you know, when I don't believe and everybody else does, sometimes I just need that refresher of this is why we believe. And I got a little of that. But I changed my words to I need more income, not more work. I like the work that I'm doing. I need more income. And then a guy who I hadn't talked to in a month or so, that every once in a while I get gigs. Actually, I hadn't talked to him since February. I mean, we've chatted back and forth, but as far as a job goes, I haven't worked for him since February, the first part of February, in fact. And he just randomly hit me up last week and said, hey, I need a sound guy to run this kind of soundboard at Harris in Cherokee, the casino in Cherokee, Saturday night. He told me how much he paid, which is a decent amount of money. And he goes, you know anybody? It's like, let me clear my schedule. And I did. I cleared my schedule so I could go out there Saturday night and went out there. So I'm driving 3 to 3.5 hours. It was closer to 3, but driving 3 hours up, and they provided food in a hotel room, so I didn't have to drive back and right away. And walking in, dude, I'm walking into a soundboard that I've actually never touched in my life. So I get on YouTube. You know, I'm learning things on YouTube. I get on YouTube, like, give me the basics of how this board works. And it did. You know, I found some really good videos and learned how that board works. And I went up there, and it was comfortable. It was good. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this little thing here. And the guy, I had some questions. And he's, oh, well, let's go upstairs and talk to, I can't remember, Trevor or Nathaniel or somebody that I wasn't directly working with. And we'll ask him. And so they took me, you know, up this special elevator, and it said stage. I'm like, okay. We walk out backstage on the massive stage for Harris and Cherokee. And it's like, oh, who's playing tonight? And he goes, Hailstorm. And I'm like, no way. Except I didn't say way. And he's like, yeah. I was like, oh, because I love Hailstorm. They're a great metal band. He's like, wow, you know, on your breaks, you could come up. Their set starts at 9, and it goes from like 9 to 11. You can come up and hear. I'm like, that's effing awesome. You know, that's amazing. And then as I'm standing there with them doing sound check, I'm like, oh, who's the next band? And it's another band I love that I've actually got to hear in concert before called Lacuna Coil. And I was like, oh, and I've started texting my metalhead friends like, oh, my God. So all of a sudden, this thing that was going to bring me more income allows me access that even employees of the casino didn't have. You know, you had to have certain badges and certain access to get to where I was. Otherwise, you would have gotten fired from your job. And so people who wanted to hear the band couldn't, that worked there. But I got to walk in and sit side stage, backstage with the bands doing their thing and just got to hear them. And it really was an amazing moment. I've got more to tell on that, but we're out of time. So you're going to have to, it'll be in the in-between. We do a lot of great stuff in the in-between. So go to patreon.com/successfreaks and pledge your support. And you'll get the in-between moments and more of the good stuff that we do. Mr. Mordant, before, you know, obviously we're going to wrap this up and I'll tell you a little bit more that you're going to love about this next. But do you have anything else to say before we get out of here?
No, I think this has been a fun show. I hope it's been helpful to your friends and their companies. And I'm sure we'll hear back one way or the other. Excellent.
I
just answered my own question. I'm sure that they think it's fabulous. That's what I'm sure. That's what I believe in. And if not, we'll work on it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this has been R. Mortimer Mon.
And I'm Charles McFall, saying the deepest trough of sorrow is an empty cup of coffee.
Ciao, success freaks. Boom, baby.